Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Danny Kelly was back. We had a good England chat ahead of the big game against Germany tonight and look back on the defeat to Italy. We were joined by Nigel Smith, landlord of the Fleece Inn near Evesham in Worcestershire. He organises Nigel Fest for over 300 Nigels. That's how many turned up. A dying name.
It is, less than last time.
That's true, which is sad. We had some clips of the week pewter from 2010.
Yeah,
that
enjoyable.
We had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
We found out something we didn't know about James Alexander Gordon.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. Of course, there's a lot of chat about Gareth Southgate's position at the moment, and I did like this letter into The Sun this morning.
Oh, OK, yeah, yeah.
He hasn't really thought this through.
That's where I go if I want sort of cogent argument about the England manager's job.
That's where I always go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John Wells of Bedworth in Warwickshire wrote, Gareth Southgate is totally incompetent and out of his depth as England boss. Axe him and the FA committee who back him. He's going to appoint the new bloke. You haven't thought this through, John.
He can. He'll do it himself. Give him the gig.
Ludicrous.
Clearly knows what he's talking about.
And Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland Haaland?
Yes. It's, I'm,
was this University
it's
Challenge?
Quite posh. The Haaland Haalands.
Is he one of the Haaland Haalands?
The Erling Haaland.
Oh, yeah.
The secret to his success, according to The Sun today, are these blue light glasses.
Yeah.
Yes, it's got nothing to do with being 6'5", really quick and great at football. It's the blue light glasses.
It is. Now, these are there because they're a bit of blue light late at night can they say is not great for your sleep. So he wears these of an evening.
Yeah.
And it reduces the blue light, which means he sleeps better, he's rested, and he's on fire when he gets on the pitch. So, but I had no experience of these, but of course I knew you would, some sort of crazy gadget. You buy all the gadgets, Andy. So you've had you bought some for your wife.
I bought some for Sue, yeah, because she loves looking at her device, like an iPad or a phone, late at night.
Right.
And I said to, you know, and this is disrupting your sleep. So I got her to wear these things. I made her wear them every night, but it didn't really work. So.
No. Well, what are they now? When you did you look? I mean, your eyesight.
They're blue light glasses. Exactly what they describe. They're glasses with blue lenses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you put them on at any point? But you can't see without your glasses.
No.
I was saying, if you got a prescription pair of blue light, they cost about $5,000.
They would.
Your lenses. Yeah. Wow.
I didn't really bother.
They're very complex.
And Gareth Ainsworth wore his lucky red boots, snakeskin boots, for the defeat at Sheffield Wednesday. Well, not that lucky, really.
No.
I'd give those up, Gareth, if
good
I was
old
you.
Buddy.
Bannon.
That's right. Yeah, he's on fire, wasn't he?
An interesting fact about James Alexander Gordon, who famously read the sports results. On
football results in the days when the Beat used to read them out.
That's right. And I never knew this. Did you know that he won the pools?
I didn't know that.
No, he won $52,000.
In what year?
Oh, it doesn't say what year. But wasn't there an old comedy sketch where the bloke's like reading out the results and he realises he's won the premium bond. idiot. The pools.
He's run the pools.
He's run the pools as he's reading the things.
I've not seen it. It's a good skit. Maybe the listeners of a certain age will remember what show that was.
I can't remember.
So the person, it's some old sketch show.
Some old sketch where the guy's reading the
football results.
Could be a
Ronnie sketch,
couldn't
it? Yeah, sounds like one for Ronnie Corbett.
It does sound a bit like that. He shared it with the doorman at Broadcasting House. Very nice of him, wasn't it?
So they were in a little mini syndicate, were they?
Or did he just? I haven't got the full details.
Or was he just a generous bloke? Because it's quite random, isn't it? To win $52,000 when that was a lot of money, and say,
a lot of money in those
I'll
days.
Give half to the doorman.
Well, it's
we
very
should
nice
give half to.
Well, it's very nice.
Robbie Williams has been talking today about the fact that his son, Charlton, thinks that he's a footballer.
Mm. It's not surprising if you call a child Charlton.
He said, I don't know why. The other day he told somebody that I play for Manchester United. I'm not quite sure how old Charlton is. What is it? 6 or 17? Not
25.
Not 25, is it? But what do your kids think you do? I mean, have you ever encountered that Robbie Williams? Have you ever said, you've overheard the kids saying, well, my dad or my mum, they do X. And you're thinking, hang on, where'd they get that from? So look, if Robbie Williams isn't alone, and we know he listens to the station, so good afternoon, Robbie, if this is the case. So do let us know. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089, tweet to TSH&J. What would you technically have to hang up in the James Earl Jones envelope if you were leaving your line of work? And have you ever worked for Pozzo-like bosses? What sort of, I mean, that is an amazing term. Is that 6 managers in a year? Or is it 5 managers in a year? It's got to be probably 6, isn't it now?
Got a Carlo Ancelotti on line 1. He's worked for a few.
He certainly has. So let us know. Yes, Andy.
The Mancad situation the weekend was very interesting. Somebody did this research. I don't know whether these people do this thing, but apparently during her innings, Charlie Dean actually left the crease 73 times before, But there still was no warning. Heather Knight's saying there wasn't.
No.
And it's pretty strong on that.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like there wasn't. There certainly should have been. And also, what I don't like about it, it's legal and fine and all that.
Yeah.
But for me, she cons her into it. She basically has no intention of bowling the ball.
No.
She basically, and as she actually goes into a delivery strike, she's only about 2 inches out of her crease. But once she's turned and gone, of course, she's much further up. So,
I mean, look,
I thought it was bad.
If you give a warning, it's fair game, because even Mancad, the man himself in 1940-odd against the Aussies, gave a warning and it was ignored.
Yeah, it should have been a warning.
If you give a warning, it's different.
When you also in sport, if you're that desperate to like win a game, you just feel like saying, here you are, you have it, you've won, fine. That's the way you think winning a game should come, then do it. But I don't think they did the game any favours at all.
No, it wasn't a great look.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Absolutely huge game for England against Germany at Wembley tonight. And joining us now to discuss it is live on TalkSport, of course, Jim Proudfoot, you heard from there, alongside Stuart Pearce once again, Adrian Durham, your host at Wembley. And you can react in the sports bar straight after the match. But Danny Kelly joins us now to give
Hi,
us chaps. His take. And good afternoon, Danny.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Yeah, very good to be with you.
It's interesting, we heard that comment there from Gareth about basically saying get behind the lads. But I've always felt, and when that we hear those rallying calls, even at club level, it's a bit of a two-way street. I mean, if the team come out timid and tepid and slow and just popping balls off to each other in the back three, then you're going to get that kind of reaction. But if the team come out with intent and they're on it and they're putting the effort in and they want to get on the ball, I don't doubt for a minute the crowd will get behind them. But, you need something to work from, I think, sometimes as a fan.
It means one of those last desperate hideouts that managers and teams that are fading slightly go into, isn't it? Oh, the fans, we all got to do it. We all got to pull together here. The truth of it is the fans can lift a team 1 or 2%, but if they're not playing well themselves, it's a mad thing to be saying at this stage. What they need is the team to be set up well, to believe in each other, to play with a bit of dynamism, whatever the strategy of the team is. The fans can't do all that. That's down to the 16 players who get used on the night.
It's hard to know what's happened to England, Danny, because when they did well in the last two tournaments, they played with a kind of intensity, a kind of zip. And I think there was only two moments in the game where we saw that type of football where player makes a pass, player runs on, gets a pass back, then the other player. And I think nice football to set James away was a poor cross, but that was more like the old England. But otherwise, it's just so slow. It's like a club side that doesn't know where they're going.
it's a problem, I think, Andy, that was exacerbated by the manager's press conference before the game, in which he gave the message to the public, and by definition the players then as well, that he was going to reverse, beep, 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 back into the kind of situation. And look, he has done well in those two tournaments, so no one can take that away from him. But the fact of the matter is he's got a squad that is full of attacking talent and now has a defensive strategy. And that's all right while it's working. And when it fails catastrophic. That's the problem with that. But that particular mismatch. I'll make the comparison because it's worthwhile. England are a bit like Spurs now in that they are playing very defensively in the hope that their excellent forward players will get the goal that matters. But Italy also have excellent forward players, and Raspadori did one brilliant thing and won the game. I feel a bit sorry for Harry Kane. He's in the two most defensive teams in world football at the present moment. They've really got to.
Sorry, Danny, we've just got a little bit of breaking news. Ben Fletcher has rejoined us.
Oh, no.
Breaking news on Talk Sport.
Thanks, Danny. Love you too. Watford have confirmed Slaven Bilic has now been installed as head coach on an 18-month contract. Oh, what an hour it's been at Vicarage Road, by the way. Rob Edwards, along with assistant Richie Carl, has left the club, but Slaven Bilic in place at Watford with an 18-month contract signed. So watch this space.
18 months. What are the chances of that?
No chance.
Hang on. When did Watford change their manager become breaking news? That happens all the time.
Danny, you've got a point.
I must say.
Let's go back to England. Some quite telling comments from Raheem Sterling yesterday in his part of the press conference when he was asked by one of the press, why can't you make a 4-3-3 work? He said, because the manager wants to play three at the back. And he admitted it does make life a little bit more difficult for him, but he has to work in the system that the manager gives him. I mean, as people have been saying, historically, the good results England have had in recent years generally have come with four at the back, not three, but Gareth feels that's the way forward. And he was making the point on Friday, you know, he's not for turning. He thinks he's been a bit too malleable at times, and that's not going to be the case anymore. But, you know, you're trying to play a system to accommodate players that you want to play. I don't know.
I'm not sure of the logic. I mean, I would, have some sympathy for Gareth Southgate in that it is arguable that the weakest part of the team is the choice of centre-halves he currently has. Maguire's out of form. He hasn't really given Fikayo Tomori a proper chance. And so that's that. But you don't compensate for having two players who are not great by bringing in a third one who's not great. You're weakening another position in the team. The way teams have traditionally dealt with centre-backs not being the greatest, to put two decent defensive midfielders in front of them. So you're defending with a block of four rather than a line of four. And then you release the full-backs, whoever they are, but not Bukayo Saka playing left wing back. You release the fullbacks, whoever they are, and say we will defend as a block in front of our goal rather than across it. But Gareth, he's an intelligent guy, so you've got to be careful what you say. I think he sounds confused himself now. I think he's doubling down on things that he's not even sure about, and it's hard to know where they go from here. The only comfort I would take is that over the weekend, all the major European nations have got confusion and problems in their ranks going into the World Cup, with the exception of the Netherlands, and they've got Vincent Janssen starting up front, so everybody has their problems.
You mentioned Saka there, and one of the best attacking players in the Premier League this season has been Bukayo Saka. Why did you want to play him there? What a waste of his talent. You know, and he looked out of position. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing.
And the message it sends to Luke Shaw, God bless him, and Creswell, it just says, I don't have any... Chilwell. I mean, it could have well been Creswell, couldn't it? You know, Kieran Trippier, none of you are going to play left back. I've got a better plan. And you're right. It not only did it make England weaker in defence, because Saka didn't look entirely comfortable. He didn't look at all comfortable in that position. But also weakens England in attack because he, as you say, is one. He was the England's player of the year 2 days ago.
Yes, yeah, of course. It was our own Jim Proudfoot tweeting earlier on that alerted me to the fact that Ivan Toney was in, despite the fact that Gareth was hinting yesterday that he probably wouldn't get any game time. But Trent is out. Obviously, Grealish is suspended. No Tomori, no Ward-Prowse. No Jared Bowen. Some of those guys, I think, can maybe book a little mini break in October, Danny, don't you think?
I mean, it looks like that. The logic would suggest that they're, although there is a, it is a slightly enlarged squad for the World Cup finals, isn't it? And so there are slightly more chances than there were. I think, you know, the one that the other parts of the media, and so we will too, that will be causing all kinds of head scratching is Trent Alexander-Arnold. Either the evidence for our own eyes when he's playing well for Liverpool that he really is a fantastic wide player who happens to start from defence is true, or something is going on there that we just don't know about. Now, he has not played well this season. The number of times Liverpool have conceded goals where you see Trent staring at the back of the shirt, the person he's supposed to be marking. And, of course, this is only adding, I suspect, to Southgate's suspicions about him. But there can't be many countries in the world who feel they could lead that much creativity back home with a World Cup 8 weeks away.
Yeah,
Bellingham was a definite plus, though, wasn't he? We have to say that.
Yeah.
He played well.
Yeah, Bellingham. I thought, in a very stagnant performance, Bellingham was good. I thought Foden's passing, it always looks fantastic. Mm. They haven't worked out a position for him. Is he a 10? Is he going to be a wide forward? What's he going to do? You know, there's an argument when you watch someone like Luka Modric playing that you could play him in the middle of midfield because he has a similar ability to make space and play the ball. But they've got to decide where they're going to play Foden. But I think all these decisions, it's not too late.
No.
But it's very, very late in the day.
Well, there's the Oscars music asking us to clear the stage momentarily. We can come back, though, thankfully, after the sports headlines. And we will look a little bit more at the role of the crowd tonight. Some interesting comments from Raheem Sterling yesterday. Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs, Danny Kelly with us as we keep talking England and more.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
News on that comedy sketch Andy recalled earlier on of somebody reading out the football results and then realising that all their numbers have come up on the football polls. It was by
Michael Benteen, apparently, who's told us that one of our listeners...
Say,
it is Daniel.
Well done, Daniel. Top work. Thank you for that. Now, Danny, just going back to Watford very briefly. I was just wondering whether Slaven had worked anywhere else since West Brom, and he has. He had a year at Mrs. Doyle's favourite club, Beijing Goan. Go on.
I'm just hearing in my headphones, Paul, as well, that he's coming under pressure at Watford now.
Yeah.
The board are looking at his performance in the last 15 minutes. They're not happy.
News as we get it, I think he may have sparked up during the didn't open the, we didn't crack a window when he had the Pozzo family interview. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that one for you.
Go on.
Slightly worrying thing. It's never good to hear this. And as an England fan, you don't feel you want to be part of something like this, but it can be inevitable with the expectations. But to hear another player in Raheem Sterling say there were periods in his career when he dreaded coming on England duty. I'm not saying that's a far cry from get behind the lads, but... That is, you don't want to hear that.
That was the nice thing about Gareth when he came in. He stopped that. The players started playing like they do for their clubs. I don't know what's happened. It's just something's happened. It's gone backwards, and it's hard to put your finger on what it is because there was a good atmosphere around the team. We remember in the World Cup.
Yeah.
There was a zest about the team, but it's not there.
I mean, Sam Matterface yesterday, Danny, was on. I was listening to him, and he was a bit earlier on, but he did sort of nail that thing of players not being in form. Really, apart from Maguire, there's not that many players who started on Friday night who aren't particularly, you would say, or are particularly in bad form.
No, of the starters, Dyer's got back in the squad because he's playing well at Spurs, and you couldn't really argue that. There just seems to be some, as I say, mismatch between the players he has available and the strategy that he's asking them to fulfil. They don't look like they're in a bad place themselves. Sterling hasn't come out and said, look, the camp is he wouldn't. He's unhappy or anything. They just, whatever it was that was, to come back to Slaven Bilic, sparking them less than two, and even less than 18 months ago, is suddenly missing. But we all see this in teams. They hit a peak of what they're capable of. And we are always expecting that's the level they're going to play at for the rest of time. And then they drift away from it. And often the managers are, and this particularly in club football as well, they're absolutely incapable of reversing that shift. I mean, wasn't that why Ferguson was the greatest manager? Because he built another team and another team and another team. He managed to turn those declines around, albeit with a massive transfer budget. I don't know what Gareth doesn't have that ability. He can't bring in really that many new players. And it is noticeable, too, that his solution whenever he got into a problem in the past was to just bring in more 18 and 19-year-olds. But now he seems to have his squad. He's definitely got his favourites. Maguire hasn't let him down, so he's a favourite, you know. But he's not just endlessly renewing the squad with people from the other 21s. I was even he, I thought, as I said earlier on, his he's too difficult sometimes to read into just people's body language. The words he was using did not inspire me that he knows what's fundamentally wrong with this team. And when you go five games against different levels of opposition without scoring a single goal from open play, you're either very unlucky or there is something fundamentally wrong, and I suspect the latter.
It seems that Stones will be starting tonight. The word is, I think Mike McGrath in the Telegraph making the point, guys, that they are missing Pickford's distribution a bit as well. They have that ability to mix things up. And that is one aspect that nobody's really been talking about.
Yeah,
that much.
That's not what went wrong.
No, I know it's not. But look, it all feeds into maybe why it's not working quite as well as it did.
Yeah.
Go on, Andy. Pickford's distribution is average, you know. Maybe it's better than Pope's. It is better than Pope's, granted. But they're not talking about Edison here, where it's a fundamental part of the team's mechanics. Mm. It's a nice thing to have when it goes well. But, I don't think that's with all due respect to Mike, that's all right. That's just one of a million things at the moment. They're not quite correct. And the problem is with these things is that to fix them all at once seems such a big job. Now, I'm asking you, I'll ask Andy, if England come out, play well tonight, bash three past Germany, will we have a completely different face on this in 24 hours?
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Because expectations, at the moment, expectations are really, really low, which is not a bad thing going into a tournament, because in the past it's often been far too high. But, I just can't see that happening. I was thinking, though, that in a normal World Cup, players give it their all knowing they've got 3 or 4 weeks holiday coming at the end of it. Yeah. This year, they know they've got more than half a season to go. I don't know how it's going to affect players and how they approach it. I suppose they'll give it everything because it's a World Cup. But it is going to be a different World Cup, so it's pretty hard to judge, really, how it'll be.
Well, that's just adding to the, and you're absolutely right, of course, you're adding to the just the incredible unpredictability of this season all round. We have two separate seasons, a Winter World Cup, all those things just make, that are already tremendously difficult and highly paid job, even more hard predicting football results, yeah?
It's true.
It'll be interesting to see how much game time Tony gets this evening, whether he will get sort of 10, 15 minutes. I mean, it probably won't be enough to get him on the plane. I think that I was going to say that ship has sailed, but you know what I mean. It'll be interesting to see if he does get any game time and how he does.
Any service, that's the thing.
I mean, to push Harry Kane out the way so he can take the free kicks. Oh, Kieran Trippier is there as well, of course.
Well, that's another aspect, isn't it, that Harry Kane has now missed, I think, for Spurs, 437 free kicks.
I think that's this season.
Son has scored three in his last four appearances for South Korea.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
Banged in another one 3 days ago from a mile out.
I think he must say to the other players, Eric Dier and Sonny, I can feel it. This is definitely the one. You say that every week, H. I mean, it must be like for England. They can't let him anywhere near them. I mean, how can such a good player be quite terrible? Who's great at penalties, be quite terrible at free kicks like that? It's shocking, really.
He's you're right, he's great at penalties. It's free kicks and corners. And that's the at least we can say England haven't gone back to letting Harry Kane take the corners.
That's true.
So there has been some progress. Could we sound like some really grumpy geezers here, don't we? But this England team, they're forcing you into that corner, aren't they? And there's the serious issue of it. If you don't win for five games and you don't score from play for five games, you can't give Ivan Toney the 90 minutes.
No.
You need this result to bring back...
Yeah. That is the problem.
Results have meant that they are going to have to
put
out.
If Harry Kane was to get injured a week before the World Cup and couldn't go to the World Cup, he's not really tried either of them. Tony, or he hasn't given Tammy Abrams an extensive run. So
Watkins, none of them have really had a go, have they?
It'll be the Force Nine World Cup. That's what it would be. Foden will be, yeah, he'll be our
Marcus Edwards will be brought into the squad to play 5'6" false nine.
Yeah.
Like he does for Sporting.
Danny, I know you wanted, we're going to have Andy Brussel here shortly, but there was a couple of other European things you spotted before we let you go.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I mean, Andy will bring some common sense to all of this. Just, I mean, we watch Turkish football sometimes with amazement, and they're at it again. What they were doing in League C, no one can work out. They play in a league that really fancies itself, and most of their players are on tremendous wages. They'd already, admittedly, been promoted back into League B, but during the course of the week, first of all, they drew at home 3-3. With Luxembourg. It's the first time Luxembourg has ever scored three goals in an away competitive match. And they were 3-2 up with a couple of minutes to go. The Turkish population were in absolute uproar about this. And the team duly responded last night by losing 2-1 in the Faroe Islands. can you imagine? I mean, my local, the man who used to cut my hair in North London, a big Fenerbahce fan, he'd be doing his pieces. The other result which caused me to raise a quizzical eyebrow, and it's put Northern Ireland in jeopardy of getting relegated as well. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute, and I really am not, that there was anything wrong about this result, but it did raise an eyebrow. Greece had walked away with their group and were getting promoted, and then they go to their baby brother at Cyprus. Cyprus need a result to keep pressure on Northern Ireland to avoid themselves being relegated. Cyprus won, Greece nil, the most Eurovision result ever in professional football.
It's not good, is it?
That's a bit smelly.
Mitrovic also, my favourite player, Aleksandar Mitrovic, as Serbia continue to show that they will be a horrible team to play against in the World Cup. They beat Sweden, whacked them 4-1.
Wow.
Vlahovic didn't get any of the goals. Mitro got three of them in the first 48 minutes. Those are the things I picked up on in the course of 4 days of watching international football almost continuously. Yeah.
Erling Haaland scored at the weekend, but was on the losing side. It's a rare occurrence for him in recent months, isn't it? But they lost to Slovenia, but still got another goal.
Thing of the past, Erling Haaland, he's done now.
Yeah.
The fellow who we have to look out for now is Sesko, who was the opposition centre-forward. He's the next big thing that's coming along. He's already at RB Salzburg. He will soon be at RB Leipzig, and he will just follow exactly
good play.
The same
played against Haaland. Chelsea in the recent European game. He's good.
An old Sesko.
Yeah, watch out for Sesko.
Yeah. Danny, nice one. We will catch up with you next Monday when we've got the bread and butter of domestic football, and hopefully reflecting from our point of view on a fine victory at the Emirates for Tottenham, although I'm not holding my breath.
Oh, I think it's almost a done deal, isn't it? I'll tell you what, very, very quickly about that, I cannot remember. Something really has to give. When was the last time in North London Derby one team was top of the table, the other team was undefeated, and one of those things has to go at the weekend?
Somebody's O must go. Fantastic. Thank you, Danny. Yeah. All the best.
Bless you, man.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're only making plans for Nigel.
Vieira, Winterburn.
Oh, what a goal! Nigel Winterburn.
He yet to score. Here's Nigel de Jong. They've scored now! And of all the unlikely people in the Manchester City side, it's Nigel de Jong.
Right hand! There he found it! And Malinga's down in round five. This is why this man, Nigel Benn, gives you excitement and raw adrenaline every time.
From across by the impressive teenager, Matt Piper, Paul Dickoff's header was superbly saved by Nigel Martin.
Right coming forward. Rush.
Can Clough get to this one? He can!
The white capture 2v1. It's Rio Coker and Camilo. Can Rio Coker go the whole way? He's in the penalty area. Nigel shoots, scores his first goal in MLS. Right, well done, Nigel. Rio Coker salutes the fans. And
it's great bit of commentary, isn't it?
Just a selection, a very small selection of the sporting Nigels. Yeah, nicely put together at pretty short notice, and we play that because I think we're all aware the name Nigel is diminishing somewhat. I don't think there are that many Nigels. Well, we'll find out very shortly from something of a Nigel expert called Nigel.
Yeah.
but they did have Nige Fest. I think it was the second one. It raises lots of money for charity and it brings together Nigels from around the world. We hope there was a couple of sporting ones there, but let's find out. Nigel Smith, landlord of the Fleece Inn in Brett Fulton near Evesham in Worcestershire, joins us. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon to you.
Wow. Is that what so you got the, yes, it was the second one, wasn't it? There were less people there this time. Is that, is that a sign that the name Nigel is dying out as we speak?
Yeah, actually literally dying maybe, you never know.
Oh, dear me. So why have you decided to bring everybody together in your pub sort of once a year, hopefully now we're through the pandemic, well, the worst
of it? Yeah, well, it was just one of those weird things where I was having a conversation with this guy. I was getting into his car, you know, how you do it, his Morgan car, and he said to me, Nigel, and I said, yeah, that's my name. He said, no, that's my name, we should get together. A few of us should get together for a Nigel night. So we put it out there on local radio 3 years ago, and we got, it just went bananas, and we got like 432.
Yeah.
And this year we got 372, so not quite the same number, but a hell of a party nonetheless.
Do you know the stats for how many newborn children are called Nigel each year?
Well, according to the ONS, none. So that's pretty grim, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow,
although they don't record any less than 10. So, you know, there might have been 9 Nigels.
Nigel, the kind of peak Nigel was 1963, apparently, wasn't it? 5,000 Nigels.
Yeah, which was that was the year I was born. So yeah,
and then it's kind of tapered
off since then.
Do you ever get the shortening of Nige?
Yeah, Nigel's good.
Right,
Nige, if you know Nige, if I've been
Nige,
I've heard that one.
Very cricket. The I mean, did everybody wear name tags? I suppose there's no point, is there? Really,
they get issued with Nigel badges.
well,
you know, because there's a lot of not Nigels there. So,
really? So, you're allowed not Nigels.
You're allowed. Yeah, you're allowed to come along and support your Nigel.
A plus one.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you did make a good point about Nigellas.
Yeah, and I mean, that's quite limited. You've got, I think, how many Nigellas are there? I mean, there might be a few off the back of Nigella.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there no?
No, we're none.
Okay, fair enough. I noticed there were awards given out. I'm looking at a picture of quite a young Nigel, smiling young Nigel here from the local papers, and a slightly older Nigel. What did you give out awards for?
So the youngest Nigel, he was 30. And then the oldest Nigel, who was 96, I think.
Wow. And you had someone come from the States as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a few people come from the States, actually. So, you know, in terms of Nigel Miles, quite a lot, really.
Is there a bloke called Nigel Miles there? It's always good to see Nigel.
Probably was a Nigel Miles. There were about 10 Nigel Smiths there, I think. So, you know, it's got to have been a Nigel Miles or two.
What's the best combination? There's nobody called Nigel Nigels, is there, I take it?
No.
Nigel's not being a surname. No. Nigel Nigelson.
Nigelson.
From Greenland or wherever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you did raise a lot of money, didn't you?
Yeah, we raised. We think we raised over 3,000 quid. So British Heart Foundation. So, those of us who are of a certain age, that sort of thing's quite important to us. So yeah, which is great fun because it was. It just was such a good party, but we managed to raise a bit of money as well.
Yes.
So you're planning to do it every year, presumably?
No, we're going to do it every 3 years.
Oh, right, okay.
Like, rush, We don't like to rush things, really.
Right.
We're into the rhythm now of every 3 years is our new tradition. So, you know, don't be rushing at it.
By the time he gets about 9 years.
You'll have to, I mean, it'll be a sad, but over the course of the years, there'll have to be those sort of in memoriam things. Somebody will have to play a sort of a somber cello as all the Nigels come up on the screen. Let's hope there's not too many of them in 3 years. Let's have a baby Nigel there next time.
And what about, please.
We played some sporting Nigels there, Nigel. So what about... Yeah. What about, I mean, some of those, it would love to see Nigel Clough turn out, or as we said, Nigel Rio Coker, one or two others.
Yeah, they were all there. No, none of them were there.
Oh dear, what a shame.
If the budget stretches, maybe if the British Heart Foundation must have a kind of a Nigel that supports the charity. Well,
Nigel Adley would go along.
A Havers. Some Havers. That would be good.
Well, we nearly got a Havers, but Havers wavered, unfortunately.
Havers wavered. Havers wavered. Have you got a favourite Nigel?
Have I got, well, there was actually a 14 week old puppy called Nigel. He was quite a winner. So but I wouldn't want to have a sort of one Nigel over all of the Nigels. I don't think that's appropriate. We're all on the same.
I've got an
unfavourite one.
What's that? Oh yeah, I can probably guess who that is.
We can work that out.
And also present was a guy who, Nigel. He changed his name to Niall because he didn't want the name Nigel. But you've put him right, apparently. Haven't you?
Yeah, we had to sort that out. You know,
Nigel Rogers, the record producer and guitarist.
Yeah. Okay, we had a couple of texts coming. My name is Neil, but my nickname as a child was Nigel. What badge do I get? Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're going on with the next, I mean, a nickname. Why was your nickname Nigel?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe we need to find out.
It is arguably a joke name. You know, that's what my mate used to say to me. Is that a joke name, Nigel Smith? So, you know, it's character building, though. That's the thing.
Nigel in Leeds says that the name Nigel, my name too, is alive and well in Holland. Who is the greatest sporting Nigel, you ask? Well, after watching the very promising Dutch lad 19 years ago, Nigel Lonvijk played for Plymouth yesterday. I concluded that it has to be his countryman, Nigel de Jong. Why? Because de Jong has done so much to promote the name in the Netherlands. So
he should have been sent off in the World Cup final.
Yeah,
by
he should have
Webb.
Been. A young Dutch Nigel. So in Holland, they are still naming their kids Nigel, which is good. Maybe you can get him along.
We're going to have to get... Perhaps we'll just put something out with Dutch media and see what we can get out there. Yeah, be great.
Okay. Brilliant.
A few Dutchmen along, be fine.
There's apparently a Nigel Hasselbank. Okay, well, look, thank you very much, Nigel and Leeds, for all of those. Cheers, Nigel, all
That's
the best.
Very informative, thanks.
Nigel Smith there, the landlord of the Fleece Inn near Evesham in Worcestershire after Nigel Fest 22. And if you go along to Nigel Fest 25. Ridiculous.
Well,
you'd go to a night of 1,000 Andes, wouldn't you, if they had one?
I might.
If it was basically over the road from his house.
Exactly.
He wouldn't open his curtains to watch it. Anyway, I asked earlier on, what would you be hanging up? James Earl Jones is hanging up his helmet, according to our own Charlotte Fisher, and he's not going to be getting involved in Darth Vader work anymore. David's been in touch. He said, consider I'm a dry cleaner, I would be hanging up my hangers. That is very true.
Very good.
Thank you very much for that. What would you be hanging up technically in your line of work when you call it a day? Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
He doesn't like Chilwell, Southgate. He's got a thing for Luke Shaw, isn't he? I don't think he's better or fitter than Chilwell. Mm. Chilwell's been okay when he's come on, especially in the last match where he scored and he looked quite decent. So I'd go with him, but I suppose I'm a bit biased. But
no, that's true. The comments from the club, actually, from Gino Pozzo are quite interesting. We felt Robert had enough. This is Rob Edwards, if you're just joining us, has got the sack as Watford manager.
Seriously, these
after,
people say.
Albeit a bad run of results, but still. We felt Robert had enough time to show us the identity of his team.
Not really.
However, performances haven't reflected our hopes and ambitions. They are, I think, they are the definition of impatient owners, aren't they?
It's ridiculous.
So now we must move forward, and in Slaven Bilic we've secured the services of an experienced coach who has recent experience of promotion to the Premier League. So they've learnt from up-and-coming manager. They don't like that, so let's
He's a proven quantity, and he probably will get them promoted, and then he'll be sacked.
Yeah. Yeah, is what will probably in get him up, and then sort of November, bam, run the results, and he's gone.
Gone.
Possibly the first international break. Yeah, but I mean, Slaven knows that. I mean, we'll come on and talk about this. It felt like the wrong job for Rob Edwards. He was always going to get a good job after what he'd done as Forest Green. He could have waited and got the kind of job where you get some time. And there are a few out there, not that many, but Watford didn't feel like a good fit. But anyway, what do we know about Watford? Rookery Mike does. He's a lifelong supporter and fan. True. And he's from the Rookery End podcast. Mike Parkin joins us a little bit later on.
Now, I don't know if you saw this in the paper this morning. They've discovered an old tape that features Morecambe and Wise.
Mm-hmm.
It was on a student television station. The tape was kind of ruined. It was saved by putting it in the oven.
Really?
Yeah.
What, videotape? Was this
videotape? Yeah.
Just normal videotape?
Normal videotape. The bloke put it in the oven and the tape runs for 40 minutes. But this is the bit that got me. It also
It runs for 40 minutes on what, Mark? What, 180 or what? Or
no idea. The tape, full tape runs for 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And also contains an interview with the French mime artist Marcel Marceau.
Oh, okay.
It's been a bit weird, wasn't it?
It's like Silent Movie, isn't it? The old, he's the only person who speaks in the Mel Brooks film, Silent Movie. When Mel Brooks phones him up,
yeah,
and on a caption it says, "Marcel, will you be in our film?" And he says, "No." That's it. It's the only words in the film.
He appeared at the Norfolk and Norwich Festival in October 1973.
Marcel Marceau did?
Yeah.
He kept that quiet, didn't
I know.
He? It's a tap in, isn't it?
It's
Clive Allen from 2 yards.
It's marvellous, isn't
nothing.
It? He had to perform. Well, you missed my Nigel Rogers. He had to perform there without any of the props because they'd been lost in transit. What props does he need?
He doesn't need props.
He doesn't need
a war. He leans against it.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to be
wind.
Windy, does he? Well, I hope not.
Doesn't need an umbrella.
Yeah, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need a balloon. What props does he need, Anne? That's a very good point. It's great you're getting upset about it all these years on. If you were there that day and you met the great man, what did he say to you? Or not, as the case may be. That's the old Harpo thing, isn't it? When he stood up at some event and said, unaccustomed as I am to speaking.
That's very true.
Must be a very weird thing when you suddenly somebody speaking. I don't know what Marcel Marceau sounded like.
I have no idea.
Sam Allardyce. Maybe he did. He had the voice
how
of
great would that be
Tyson Fury. Called everybody a dosser. I don't know. Anyway.
What a theory.
Robbie... Right. Pass me that balloon, your daughter. Where were we? Oh, yes. Robbie Williams is telling the papers that his lad, Charlton, his little boy, thinks he's a footballer. He overheard him saying, my dad plays for Manchester United. And this comes from Stephen in Belfast. He says, I've worked as a sales rep for 20 years in the hair industry, and my daughter thought I was an actual hairdresser. Every time we attended a school event, all the parents thought, I was the best dressed hairdresser. I had a suit on or a smart jacket. Why would can't hairdressers be smart?
I think they can.
Yes. Never cut hair in my life, but the people of Belfast had me down as a hairdresser. Well, I mean, it would have been nice just one day.
But he was involved with hair products.
He was.
You're not talking about hairs like rabbit type hairs. He's talking about actual
no.
hair products.
He wasn't. He wouldn't be in the hair business unless he worked in Graham.
Well, I don't know. So hairs have to
you
eat,
come
don't
up
they?
With some daft questions sometimes, don't you?
Probably.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Yes, of a Monday. We like to bring you some Clips of the Week pewter. We can't call them gold. They've not been, they're not the classics that you hear every Christmas Eve. But a few that popped up that were lost in the midst of time but have been rediscovered on mini discs, digitised by our producer on his old mini disc player. Remember those? Yeah. And here they are. We've got, they're from 2010.
Okay.
And they'll feature a few.
You've had
faves.
Older.
We've had older. 2004, we all sound like we're about three. But anyway, this we begin, as we often do, with Mike Parry, chatting to a caller about the England squad for the 2010 World Cup.
Let's talk to Mark, who's an Everton fan in Liverpool. Hiya, Mark.
Hiya, Mike.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, go on, mate. Yeah, go on. What do you want to tell us?
Yeah, I'm just disgusted, really, about the Bain situation.
Yep.
With him not being in the England squad. I think Warnock getting ahead of him is just an absolute...
Well, Leighton Baines is, mate. Are you talking about Jagielka?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
What? I didn't understand that at all.
Not often that Mike is the victim in a clip, but there he was being quite lucid and getting it right.
This is Breakfast with Adam Brazil, where they were talking about the FA Cup.
Dagenham, the outsiders at 11-4. I think we're going to get some great games in Division 1 playoffs and the Division 2 as well. They start tomorrow night.
Could be a London final, couldn't it? Millwall, Cardiff.
It's not very London, is it, really?
Yeah, Alan's geography, notice I do struggle with geography.
A bit rough there.
It's a big night, you know, man. Benelin. Let's go back to
Ascot,
Mr. Let's go back to Mr. Parry now.
And if she was 25 years of age, she'd look at me with a gormless kind of, facsimile.
A gormless facsimile?
That's not right.
I don't think that really stacks up. The words weren't coming, and even when they did, they weren't the right words.
Staying with Mr. Parry, here he is with Andy Townsend, talking dogs.
This is from Kevin in Hoddesdon, which is in Hearts. He says, hi, guys. We had our chihuahua stolen.
Hold on, we had our what?
A chihuahua, that's a little...
Chihuahua?
Yeah, chihuahua, that's right. Yeah,
that's right. I didn't say anything like that, but yeah, that's right.
A chihuahua? Oh, dear. This is Keith Arthur on Fisherman's Blues now.
It was a toss-up today, whether I came and saw you and tried to catch a tench or whether I got all my tackle up to speed and I've decided to sort my tackle out.
Well, it's about time too. There's anything wrong with that. It's always been Route 1, the fishing.
Oh, no.
Carry on fishing. It's always been the same.
Back to Alan Brazil now.
Air reviewing the papers, of course, Chris Davis, looking back at the New Den.
Looking back at the New Den. Was he just over his shoulder? Was he a cab driver, Chris, at that time, was he? Got a fare in Bermondsey. Mike Parry again with a surprise bit of correspondence.
Email here from Avram Grant.
Oh, really? I think it was probably about him. Yeah,
chance love for you. The show.
Where's he from? Batley.
Yeah.
It's not Avram Grant.
That's my Avram Grant impersonation.
Yes, very good.
Thank you.
Great to hear it again.
Thanks. Over to Rupert Bell now, watching the golf.
The big names this afternoon are just starting to tee it up around this West course include Lee Westwood and Rory McIlroy.
He was obviously hungry.
I love a Rory McIlroy.
It's always nice, isn't it? Yeah. Now, this is a caller to Overnights.
Joe is in Enfield. Joe, you're on the air.
My toast has just gone.
Your patience?
No. I put the toaster on and it's just popped up.
Well, tremendous news.
A bit gravelly, wasn't he there, old Joe?
Well, it was quite really.
Tommy Godfrey there. There's one for the teenagers. Ask your granddad. Ask your great-granddad. Sticking with the callers, here's one to Mike Graham.
Let's go to Michael now, who's in King's Cross. Hello, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Hello. I think we came to you a little bit early. It's Mike Graham.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he was trying to cover it up, the noise in the toilet, by singing. No?
I don't think he was. I think this guy, obviously, every time he goes to the toilet, he sings that song.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
No idea, really.
Anyway, fine. What's the last one?
And finally, it's Adrian Durham reading out a text about the England squad.
See, nothing's changed, the England squad.
And it did lend itself to a musical number.
Josie has texted in, happy about it as well, saying karma, karma, karma.
It was bound to happen, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So there we are, 2010. Yeah. We'll have a few more clips of the week, pewter for you. A couple of decent ones in there, weren't there?
I enjoyed them.
We'll have some more for you around the same time next week. We did ask you off the back of this, Robbie Williams telling the press that his son, young lad Charlton, tells everybody his dad's a footballer, plays for Manchester United. Mm. He's been saying, and what do your kids think you do? JT says, my son was on a school trip to Windsor Castle and he told anyone that would listen that I was in the Queen's Guards, and indeed I guarded the Queen personally. I've never been in the Scouts, let alone the Army. He also told people on holiday I was a famous footballer. But I'm 50 and very out of shape, says JT. So sometimes, what do your kids think you do, or certainly say that you do? Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ.
I had a friend who insisted his dad had played for Portsmouth. He was a fullback for Portsmouth. And eventually I had to look it up to see if he had actually.
And had he?
No. He was a hairdresser.
Oh, okay. Well, that, you can be a football and a hairdresser.
Well, you can, yes.
There's been
true.
Some in the past that
well,
maybe,
they have.
Maybe, I'll tell you one off the top of my head, which is no pun intended. Cass.
He was.
Cass was a hairdresser, wasn't he? Aaron Tony
yeah,
Cascarino.
That's true.
So he made that transition from hairdresser
well,
to football.
Well, maybe he was right, but he didn't. He
Johan Coiffeur, he was the other one. Come on, let's come have on. Your hairdresser-based footballers.
Yes.
Come on, England are probably going to get out the early stages of the World Cup. We need to cheer each other up. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. I favour the draw tonight. And you, I mean, look, if it's a... It's not... It's about the result. It's about the result yeah. if England lose. But if England draw and play well...
I think it's about the way they play. I don't think it is about the result. It's about how they play.
Well, I don't know. I mean...
No, I think they've got to show some signs.
So if they're brilliant and lose 1-0, we're still not down in the dumps.
Unlikely to be brilliant and lose 1-0. You want to see them score? They haven't scored for five games.
I know.
It's not good enough. It's
anyway,
not.
It's all going to happen. I was going to say all going to unravel. I didn't mean
well,
that.
I hope not.
From 7 o'clock with Adrian Durham.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon.
Why didn't
show.
He retire?
Who's that?
James Alexander Gordon.
Why didn't he retire?
Yeah. I think 52
what, with that
grand.
Money?
Well, in those
he
days, 52
job.
Grand was quite a lot of money.
He loved his job. I'll do it all again with Charlie tomorrow. Andy, you're back on Wednesday.
I am.
Marvellous. So if you can join us from 1 tomorrow, great. If not, podcast available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.